Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is November 5, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Teespring Partners Instagram. Discover to start contactless card rollout. Alipay allows international app version for overseas visitors. Wirecard, Rinspeed team up to shape the future of mobility. Nexi and ACI Worldwide to drive payments innovation in Italy. Neom, formerly Instarem, drops bank license pursuit. Citi, turning digital payments acceptance into a corporate cash management play. To accelerate payments, Mixrails or Nixrails? Shifting logistics to the center of trade finance. Now let's get started. Teespring Partners Instagram. E-commerce platform Teespring has partnered Instagram, allows creators and celebrities to sell customized products via the Facebook-owned social network. Branded stores will allow its users to fully brand the customer experience while using Teespring's customized product fulfillment services. The new shopping feature has only been available to 26 exclusive brands, including Prada, Nike, and Zara. Teespring is the first partner to enable this for individual content creators. Instagram checkout will be offered to top Teespring creators using branded stores. Discover to start contactless card rollout. Discover has unveiled it will begin issuing contactless-enabled credit cards, in addition to its line of digital products and services. Representatives of Discover mentioned that the goals of this digital solution are to make payments fast, easy, and secure, as well as to give card members more choices in how they pay. Also, the rollout of contactless-enabled cards will start in November 2019 for most Discover It and Discover More card members who need cards reissued or replaced. Beginning in December, contactless cards will start to be issued to new Discover card members. Alipay allows international app version for overseas visitors. Alipay has revealed that visitors can register for the international version of the app with their overseas mobile phone number to access the Tour Pass Mini program. It can be downloaded for both iOS and Android devices. Via the Mini program, customers can use the prepaid card service provided by the Bank of Shanghai to top up CNH. They can also use services including scanning a QR code to pay at restaurants and shops, and making online purchases through Alipay. As such, for the international version of Alipay, visitors can use their international debit or credit cards to load funds onto a prepaid card provided by the Bank of Shanghai within the Tour Pass Mini program. Minimum top-up for each card is CNH 100, with balance capped at CNH 2000. The card is valid for 90 days, after which any remaining funds will be refunded automatically. Wirecard, Rinspeed team up to shape the future of mobility. Wirecard, a digital financial technology provider, has teamed up with mobility company Rinspeed together with other companies such as SAP, Dekra, Zurich Insurance, and Osram. Wirecard is the payment partner within the cooperation, aiming to shape the future of mobility. The company's technologies will be integrated into Rinspeed's concept vehicles, which are already providing a stimulus for how autonomous driving will work in the mass market in the future, according to the official press release. This enables completely new customer experiences true to the motto Commerce on the Move. The planned use cases include retail, logistics, and transportation. In cooperation with other partner companies, Wirecard will expand the functionality and the possibilities of Rinspeed vehicles using solutions from its innovation labs, such as the Grab and Go store or biometric hand scanner. Rinspeed is a Swiss creative think tank and mobility lab for the automotive industry for more than 41 years. It is privately held and run by its founder, Frank M. Rinderknecht. Nexi and ACI Worldwide to drive payments innovation in Italy. Nexi, a provider of digital payments technology for banks in Italy, and ACI Worldwide, a provider of real-time electronic and banking payment solutions, have joined forces to offer merchant customers of Nexi's partner banks payment services at the point of sale, POS. Nexi, which together with its partner banks manages approximately 1.4 million POS terminals across Italy, will use ACI's UP retail payment solution to enable a VAS value-added services layer platform on its devices. UP retail payments is a complete and customizable end-to-end enterprise payment solution that delivers digital payments experience. Nexi's new VAS layer platform uses ACI's Universal Payments UP framework to centralize onboarding and distribution of all existing and future VAS services. Merchants will be able to offer their customers new services through the POS, such as the processing of company meal vouchers, loyalty points and more. Neom, formerly Instarem, drops bank license pursuit. Singapore fintech startup Neom, formerly branded Instarem, is dropping its pursuit to compete for a digital wholesale banking license in the city-state, Bloomberg reported on Tuesday, November 5. The company is instead going to concentrate on its cross-border business-to-business payments solution. Singaporean banks are extremely well-entrenched in that ecosystem, Neom Chief Executive Officer Pranjit Nanu told Bloomberg in regards to wholesale banking. Our strengths lie elsewhere, and we have decided to consolidate and focus on those areas. The idea to go after a license was sparked in July when the Monetary Authority of Singapore announced it was planning to award 2 full and 3 wholesale bank licenses. Neom was among several companies that showed interest, including Grab, Singapore Telecommunications and Razor. So far, no one else has backed out. Nanu told Bloomberg Neom will concentrate its efforts on cross-border payments and go after an electronic money institution license in Mexico and Brazil. Among the best-funded startups in Southeast Asia, Neom raised $41 million earlier in 2019. Backed by investors including Vertex Ventures, Fullerton Financial Holdings, Rocket Internet and MDI Ventures, Neom is currently regulated in the US, the European Union, Singapore, Canada, Hong Kong, India, Australia and Malaysia, processing billions of dollars a year for banks, payments institutions and retail users around the world. Founded by the team that created Instarem in 2014, Neom is used to create a wide range of payment services grouped into 3 categories: send, spend and receive. Companies working with Neom have the chance to become members of the Open Money Network, a digital collective of financial institutions, fintechs, e-commerce platforms, travel companies and online marketplaces. In addition to using the platform for payment transactions, members can also build new products and services without legacy system constraints. Neom is one of the first organizations to partner with Visa's FinTech Fast Track program in the EU, Australia and the Asia-Pacific region. Citi, turning digital payments acceptance into a corporate cash management play. As merchants go global, the pressure grows for payment capabilities to localize. That is to say, as organizations expand on an international scale and reach new customers, those businesses must allow consumers to pay the way they want for the optimal end-user experience. With the impending launch of Spring by Citi, Citi's Treasury and Trade Solutions (TTS) is increasingly incorporating the consumer payments experience into its broader B2B treasury management and transaction banking offering as it moves to support its institutional clients in their own journeys to meeting customer payment demands. As an expansion of TTS offerings, Spring by Citi pulls consumer-facing payment tools into the broader arena of back-office cash management in a B2B2C business model of transaction banking. As Manish Kohli, Global Head of Payments and Receivables at Citi, told PYMNT's Karen Webster, the service is a direct response to changing demands from institutional clients as they seek new ways to wield payments to connect with their customers around the world and to tie that customer connectivity into the rest of their back-office treasury management strategies. Direct to consumer. What's really happening is that a lot of our customers are looking at changing their business models, Kohli explained. The large underlying trend is, instead of going through the usual distribution chain, they want to go directly to consumers. As organizations, particularly technology firms in the services market, expand across borders, customer bases proliferate and diversify. As a result, new challenges emerge in their ability to nurture customer engagement and facilitate a positive payments experience. Increasingly, these businesses are looking at the end user as an individual client to address that challenge, a departure from the historical trend of anonymization and segmentation of customer populations that can happen when merchants rely on a traditional distribution channel to accept payments. We've seen some of these trends accelerating from large institutional clients, noted Coley, adding that in the last year or so, these clients have begun searching for strategies to be a part of this new way in how we engage with our consumers. Although the demand for direct consumer payment acceptance is on the rise, Coley said Citi expects many institutional clients to consider this capability as one of several channels that facilitate the merchant-to-consumer payment relationship. Traditional customers will go through multi-layer, multi-channel distribution channels, and this is one channel we're seeing them adopt, he explained. On the other side, we have some customers for whom this is the only way they want to engage with their customers. Many of the digital natives are not in the product segment, but in the services segment. Effectively, this is their go-to-market strategy. Localizing payments. As organizations look to deepen their customer relationships, payments in particular, the ability to accept a range of local payment methods are an increasingly important component of that process. Coley pointed to two pillars of Spring by Citi's strategy, consistency and payments ubiquity. Payment ubiquity, in this context, is the desire of institutional clients to say, we don't want our customers to change the way they pay just because it suits us, without taking into consideration what works for them, he explained. That means being able to accept credit cards, e-wallets, open banking payment solutions or other forms, regardless of geographic location. With Spring by Citi's aim to take advantage of Citi's global presence, integration into various global payment networks, security capabilities and treasury management offerings will be key as the service gears up for launch in the first quarter of next year. First teased earlier this year, Spring by Citi chose MasterCard Payment Gateway Services to connect with e-wallets and acquirers around the globe. Last week, the FI announced further partnerships to augment the service and support localized payment services, with PPRO integrating its access to local payment methods, while Global Payments will offer its card processing technology to the solution. Tying into the back office. Although supporting localized and direct-to-consumer payment collection services is a key focus for Citi, Coley noted that what differentiates Spring by Citi is its cash management proposition, a very important component of the solution that ties its payment acceptance services into its back-office financial management offerings, a feature that he said is lacking in other payment acceptance services available to merchants today. When we talk about cash management, it isn't just about liquidity and pooling structures, he explained. It's about your entire payment flows, as well as trade flows, which providers who only offer a payment gateway solution do not provide. Spring by Citi aims to enable institutional clients to not only allow their own customers to pay however they want, but also allow them to collect the way they want to collect. It also aims to ensure that the collection process is in harmony with their broader cash and treasury management strategies. Spring by Citi really does bridge that big gap, noted Coley. To accelerate payments, Mix Rails or Nix Rails? Jack Henry Associates announced last week that it has onboarded an additional 15 financial institutions to the clearinghouse's RTP network in the latest sign of faster payments gaining traction in the U.S. But it's not the only new payment network securing attention this week in PYMNT's latest roundup of the payments rails ecosystem. A new report from the U.S. Faster Payments Council revealed the payments industry's demand for interoperability as well as value-added services and features in any new, faster payments service that emerges, including the Federal Reserve's FedNow service. Elsewhere, in Australia, industry body New Payments Platform Australia, NPPA, publicized its own plans to do exactly that, add integrated, value-added features to the payments platform. Plus, two players in the payments space, Dwolla and Payouts Network, reflect two very different strategies on how to improve legacy payment rails, allow multiple rails to play nicely with one another, or bypass one altogether in favor of another. Faster payments interoperability is a must. On Monday, November 4, the U.S. Faster Payments Council released new research on the nation's faster payments progress. Its Faster Payments Barometer surveyed more than 700 entities, including financial institutions and network operators, to assess their views on the adoption of new, faster payment rails, and the modernization of existing rails to accelerate payments. According to the survey, industry stakeholders are prioritizing interoperability, both between various faster payment networks, and across legacy payment systems. A large majority, 95%, agreed that it was either very or somewhat important for the U.S. market to achieve payments interoperability between faster payment systems, with nearly half suggesting that this be achieved within 4 years. More than one-fifth, however, suggested that interoperability be achieved as soon as the Federal Reserve release its FedNow real-time payments service. Survey respondents also noted that integrated dispute resolution capabilities, as well as a directory addressing service, are important aspects that should be included with emerging faster payment networks. Overall, however, industry stakeholders widely agreed that the U.S. is falling behind in its faster payments journey, with nearly 60% noting that the country has not made sufficient progress. Australia releases NPP upgrade plans. Australia is gearing up to expand its new payments platform, NPP, with NPPA publishing its roadmap last week as it explains exactly how the government will introduce the faster payments service. The NPP initiative began 2 years ago, as FinTech Business Reports explained, with about 85 banks, credit unions, building societies and fintechs already looped into the NPP service. As NPPA looks toward the future of NPP, it plans to develop a mandated payments service to support recurring payments with the service, as well as to integrate a payments initiation function within the platform. The industry body said it is also developing a mechanism to support the domestic leg of an inbound cross-border transaction using NPP, as well as expand capabilities to support the use of QR codes. NPPA plans to make these updates by 2022. We're focused on developing additional native capability that can support a range of use cases, which can be used by participating financial institutions and third parties to do different things, said NPP CEO Adrian Loveney in a statement, adding that a framework developed by the NPPA could introduce common rules upon which developers can create new payment products using the platform. NPPA does this by establishing different business services that have different uses, FinTech Business noted. A business service can either be used in its native form by participating financial institutions and third parties, or it can be further built on and commercialized by an organization wanting to develop an overlay service on top. Dwolla combines ACH with cards. Dwolla announced last week the launch of its integration partner program as part of its broader partner ecosystem to support technical integration between businesses and Dwolla as the company connects clients to the ACH network with their own solutions. It's a collaborative strategy of mixing payment rails. For example, Dwolla announced one of its integrated partners, Apto Payments, which allows Dwolla customers to transfer funds on the ACH network onto a branded card without the need for a bank account to receive the funds. QuickBooks, Sift, Plaid and Slack have also joined the integration partner program, Dwolla said, adding that all members of the ecosystem can gain access to each other's networks. Dwolla said it will be seeking additional integration partners to give third parties the ability to integrate with existing Dwolla applications. Payouts Network bypasses ACH for instant payouts. While Dwolla looks for a way to combine payment rails, other solution providers are exploring ways to bypass certain rails altogether. Last week, Payouts Network announced a partnership with Priority Commercial Payments as it works to expand its faster payments offering. The company enables business customers to issue real-time payouts to employees and business partners using the firm's instant payout solution. Deploying Visa's card network, Payouts Network is able to upload funds instantly to debit or credit card accounts of a recipient's choice. The firm's collaboration with Priority has identified a range of use cases for this functionality, including instant gratuity payouts for restaurants to pay wait staff, as well as the ability for landlords to repay renters their security deposits. Shifting logistics to the center of trade finance. The Asian Development Bank's estimation of a $1.5 trillion gap in available trade finance is both concerning, particularly to small and medium-sized businesses (SMBs) struggling to access financing to expand across borders, as well as enticing to technology innovators seeking ways to fill a portion of that demand. Though fintech service providers continue to roll out new products relying on APIs, blockchain and other emerging technologies as part of their efforts to broaden access to trade finance, there often remains one constant across their strategies: lenders are the focal point of trade finance processes. When lending money to a business, a global financial institution, FI, is the entity one may naturally assume should take the lead. However, in the world of trade finance, where so many participants including importers, exporters, insurance firms, logistics providers, customs agencies, FIS and more join in, there is opportunity for other players to step into the middle of the trade finance web. That's the concept that led Consul Freight to introduce a new trade finance business model, one in which freight forwarders, not banks, stand at the center. This process is multidimensional, and having the banks in the middle doesn't make much sense, said Alejandro Gutierrez, Consul Freight's chief strategy officer, in a recent interview with PYMNTS. Banks are not experts in international trade. A new approach to underwriting. Gutierrez explained that this business model could support expanded access to trade finance, particularly for SMBs. Banks continue to deploy their traditional risk analysis models for SMBs seeking trade finance products, and as is the case with other areas of small business lending, don't always fit into a lender's risk portfolio. FIS apply their underwriting processes to the participants involved in global trade, providing trade finance to the businesses that represent minimal risk. Yet, there's another way to underwrite trade finance. If we swap out that process and incorporate technology, instead of focusing on the parties involved, we put a bigger weight on the commodity that's going to be transacted, Gutierrez said. That's going to generate some inclusion. Freight forwarders are in an ideal position to understand whether a business, even if it's a small company, is able to fulfill its end of an international trade agreement, he explained. Finding a different path. What's important to note in the development of a new business model for facilitating trade finance is that the current, traditional model continues to function all around the world. However, the $1.5 trillion trade finance gap remains. It's not that these processes don't work, said Gutierrez. The process works as is. It's that the process can improve and be more inclusive. Considering the size of the trade finance gap, he added, this business model should be considered as one option of several to meet demand. That's particularly true as the volume of fintech firms stepping into the market with their own products and services grows. No one service provider is going to address the entire gap, and more fintech firms are introducing niche services that can address particular industries, or overhaul one particular process within the broader trade finance landscape. While the trade finance landscape evolves, so too is international trade. The face of the freight forwarder is in flux, with large carriers stepping into the market with their own freight forwarding services, and newer players disrupting the industry as well. As coordinators of the shipment of goods, freight forwarders are facing an existential crisis, one that will turn these companies into something different, or cause them to potentially disappear, Gutierrez said. One way to preserve the freight forwarder's role in the market of tomorrow, he explained, is to change the role of the freight forwarders from just coordinators of international transport into mitigators of risk for financial entities and companies, and also into business enablers for their customers. Embracing transformation. One of the biggest drivers of change in the trade finance and international trade spaces is data. On one hand, Gutierrez noted, digitization has broadened corporate and lender access to valuable data to make more informed, accurate decisions. On the other hand, many businesses don't know how to properly manage and analyze that data. By positioning freight forwarders at the center of trade finance dealings, this business model can also support digitization of these logistics players, many of which are SMBs struggling to invest in technology, Gutierrez explained. This, in turn, provides the rest of the trade finance community with valuable data and insight, too. Though he sees benefits for all parties involved, Gutierrez acknowledged that the adoption of an entirely new business model, let alone a new product, will face many obstacles, particularly with Console Freight's new platform operating on blockchain technology, a tool that can lack trust, he noted. However, global trade is changing. For service providers to meet the expanding, unmet demand for trade finance, industry participants must be proactive in steering the direction of that disruption. We want to change a process that has been unchanged for decades, he said. It's going to be a journey, a transformational journey, and we are starting right now. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.